The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to One Fall, Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How goes it?
And the pastis, Mo.
Trivia master.
Trivia master. Mo has decided not to be the futurist for the current moment. He's the trivia quest master, as you'll find out on the Trivia Quest podcast that comes out on Saturday. But right now, he is the pastest. He's going to stay away from the future for now.
Yeah, well, yeah, who wouldn't want to stay away from the future right now? It all looks fairly glim.
Yeah. Fantastic. So we're back here.
Speaking of glim.
Yeah, New Jack.
Is glim a word?
So we all got a chance to see the New Jack Dark Side of the Ring. This is coming after watching the Benoit one last week. I got to say, guys. He's a crazy person, but I did have to admit I laughed a lot more during this. I had more fun with it, as psychotic as the man is, compared to the doldrum tone that I had last week with the Chris Benoit one.
Well, the thing with New Jack, and I guess you just take it with pro wrestling as a whole, but the thing with New Jack, I think you just have to operate under the mindset of not everything this guy is saying is 100% accurate. It's like the fishing tail where the fish gets bigger and bigger. I think some of the stuff is definitely accurate. Like the covering of the mass transit incident is definitely it's just an absurd situation that is just downright just.
Well, and I want to pause you, Joel, because I don't really remember that. Mo, obviously, you have a bigger idea at that time of what happened with that. So can you kind of recall in that point of history around that time, your memories of first hearing about it and everything?
No, you know what? Even then, I have to say, ECW was still largely off, under the radar for me.
Okay.
You know, when this happened, I mean, I knew about it, and I was reading about them, but I wasn't following them super closely. So,
right.
Yeah. So, I mean, when I heard about it, I thought it was a work. You know. Like that was my thought. I mean, because that's your instinct when you're talking wrestling.
Right. Yeah, I mean, how can you not?
Exactly. And it wasn't.
No. Do you guys have a different mindset now after you kind of seen, like, I guess, the full story of everything with it?
Well, like, I think ultimately, like, he's insane. I think there's no doubt about it. But I think a lot of it is that a little, I think it's a little bit more presentation than actual substance. I still wouldn't want to meet the guy alone, and I'd rather steer clear of New Jack. I feel
or
like
date the guy, ask Terry Reynolds.
Huh. That's one of the strangest ones ever.
Yeah. Surprised they left that off, to be honest.
I've never heard this.
Mo, no? You want to do it, or do you want me to do it?
Oh, you go ahead.
You go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
More or less, they were dating. I believe, yeah. And then they took some videos and pictures of each other, and then they broke up, and then he threatened to showcase them, and then I think she said that he raped her, and yeah, it was a lot of fun stuff like that, if I'm not mistaken, right, Mo?
Fun stuff.
Yeah.
And again, in the world of wrestling, you don't know what the hell is what.
No.
It's so hard to know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you look at the guy that he stabbed, and to get him out of jail, again, you don't know what's what, but hit the guy going, oh, we can turn this into an angle. It's just like, I wouldn't want to get into the ring with a guy that stabbed me. No.
That kid, clearly not very bright, obviously. No. Like, I'm not saying that to, you know, like, just straight up, just stating it clearly, really wanted fame. Loved wrestling and would have done anything. It was really, you know.
It
I don't know. You're saying you thought this, you know, you had more fun with it. I'm like, I don't find New Jack very funny. I find him very disturbing.
Oh, he's very disturbing. Don't get me wrong. Maybe I'm just in a disturbing mood now with everything that's going on. And New Jack just saying, like, I don't give a fuck, I'm going to stab you, kind of makes me laugh a little bit right now. Maybe I'm at that point. I have a joke with my friends right now. I'm at what Jack Torrance level am I at? And right now I'm like in the yellow right now. So maybe that has something to do with it all.
Oh, that's yeah, I guess let's go with that.
Yeah, no basketball and girlfriend. Man. Josh, go something, something.
Yeah.
What was it? The Vic Grimes story that he told.
That was bullshit. That was not funny. That was definitely manslaughter. Potentially.
He should have been arrested.
Yeah.
I've heard a story where he said that it was planned and that Grimes just didn't jump the right way. Watching the video, it seemed very weird how it all went. Because it seemed like it was very...
You definitely needed Paulie on this. I think not having him was kind of a detriment to this. You needed either... Or Tommy. Like, I don't know why Tommy wasn't on this. I don't know why they had Sandman just sitting back, obviously having, like, things with Jack, probably, and laughing at everything. But Tommy's not on this. That makes no sense. If you're not going to have Paulie, I understand he's with the Fed, but you should at least have Tommy on there that was his right-hand man, or Taz, that could explain things a lot better than having Hux there just drinking back and laughing at shit.
Yeah. I can't disagree with any of what you just said. I mean, when you have Cornette, who was not a fan, sitting there, you know, it just feels like the wrong guy.
Yeah, it was the wrong guy.
He keeps things out of context that need to be in context.
And they've been good at getting their interviews, too. Like, they've been very good at getting the right people for the interviews. This one, I just thought, like, they got the little person. Cool, that made sense. But not having – and I don't know this, and I should have looked this up. Is Mustafa alive or not?
I don't think he is.
Okay, I didn't think he is
off
either.
The top of my head, I don't believe he is.
I don't think he is either.
We should look at that. Double check that right now. Yeah. But
when you smoke pencil shavings, I mean, watching that guy in promos and going on a bit of a deep dive and watching his New Jack promos there, it's terrifying. And I think D'Lo equated it best, where it's like, I don't want to have these slurs thrown at me, but it means I'm not doing my job. And that really speaks to, at times, the backwards thinking of pro wrestling.
D'Lo was good on this, actually, by the way.
D'Lo was good.
Yeah.
I thought he put it very well on just the mindset. And it's like, yeah, you're right. Like, just the, like, hanging the little baby doll thing and just some of the other things that were said and done is like,
and he is still alive, by the way. We should
is
get
he?
That up there.
Yeah. So yeah, apparently. It's going to get him. I know they can't get Devon, but they could have got Bubba as well. And again, this is a guy that was the right side of Paulie.
Actually, I'm not sure it is. Wait, Gangstas, ECW. That should have been it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it lists his ring names, a guy here, semi-retired, Killer Kyle, Big Money Marcus, Kyle, but it doesn't list Mustafa. So let me try something else.
I presumed that he had passed away as well, and that's why I presumed he wasn't on here.
He's still alive. It is the right. Yeah. I did find him. He's still alive.
So I wonder, they just must not like each other, and maybe just didn't want to
talk about him. Well, or he just, you know, maybe he's completely incoherent.
Yeah, there's that as well.
You know,
They did reunite on August 8th, 2010. Mustafa and New Jack reunited for a single night, total nonstop actions, wrestling pay-per-view.
That's right, that terrible
assaulting Team 3D and Joel Gartner.
That's the pay-per-view where Tommy and Raven have another match, and Tommy gets the freaking cheese grater on his head.
Yeah, and he did it in front of his kids.
Yeah. And it was just like, just, and that was the moment I was like, ECW, just die. Please just die.
Oh, I've had many of those moments.
And watching this again made me be like, why was this a thing? Like, I'm surprised. Like, I'm sure he did, but when they were like, you need to up the ranks of hardcore wrestling, I'm surprised Corny's eyes didn't just pop out of his head talking about it.
Well, you just like, see you see the clips for CCW, and you're like, oh god, yeah, no, it's gone to another level. It just uncomfortable. Like, it's not the pro wrestling for me.
I think I mentioned this like more than a year ago that I thought CZW and what we know now for, you know, traumatic brain injuries and such, that entire thing, like, somebody should be stepping in and banning that wrestling should not even be allowed anymore.
You don't really see it in AEW. I mean, AEW, I guess kind of had it a little bit with the Havoc matches and the Moxley matches. Realistically, for like,
they're much more works. They're much more works than you know. They're really, yeah.
They had those ones at the beginning, but not as much anymore, really.
Yeah, like I say, I don't know that they've gotten good press from when they have done it, but like I say, they really like the Kenny one, right? You know, and Moxley. I was disturbed watching it, and then I go back and watch it. I'm like, dude, this is just a beautiful work. Like, this is the Kenny match last night with Trent was 10 times more dangerous.
Mm. What else from the New Jack documentary stuck out to you guys?
What didn't?
Yeah, I mean, everything. It's
like, the whole thing, like I say, the whole thing's disturbing. Like,
you know what I loved? When they sat, I think the guy was Big Red, and they got D'Lo to watch it and Corny to watch it, and Corny just loses his mind. He's stabbing him!
He's stabbing him! And there's a kid sitting there!
Yeah, and he's like, look at that kid's face right there! And I love how the guy comes to jail, waves the charges of the New Jack, and is like, look, I'm gonna waive the charges, but then we're going to work this as a gimmick. And then New Jack's just like, so I'm just making this clear. You're going to waive the charges. And he's like, yeah. He's like, but then we have to work. He's like, but you're going to waive the charges. He's like, yeah. And then New Jack's like, okay, good, I'm out of here. That's when I laughed.
Well.
I'm just absolutely shocked that New Jack never appeared on WWF, WWE, and worked an angle with Vince. You know, he just seemed like
He almost did. He was asked. I think it was 2004. Do you know this, Mo?
I didn't know.
He was asked, I believe. I remember around 2004 or 5, he was asked, and then things just never worked out, obviously. Because I think he was asked before the original, the new ECW on Sci-Fi to be part of that, and then that never really worked out. And then he was asked before for that as well, and things just never really materialized. I mean, they added Sandman, who's a crazy son of a bitch as well, not the level of New Jack. But...
did anybody other than D'Lo come across good on this thing?
No,
it's basically
Cornette was fine. But D'Lo was the only person that seemed like I honestly don't understand the reason to have Sandman on here other than he's an ECW legend. But he brought zero. Yeah. He brought zero to it. And probably the only reason Sam had agreed to it is because he needed money.
Like, when I am ashamed of wrestling, it shows like this where people can look at guys like this, you know, in this kind of, like, I don't know. They all come across so poorly. This is when I'm embarrassed to be a wrestling fan. Shows like this, more so than the Benoit thing, because that's just a tragedy. And we see tragedy in other sports, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That was like true crime. This was like, these are really terrible, scummy people.
Yes, and even,
you know, like, really, that's the type of thing. Maybe that's the legacy for me of this damn, you know, what do you call it? Dark Side of the Ring. It makes me embarrassed to admit that I watch this shit.
Well, next week we get one of the ones you got right in trivia. We got the Brawl for All next week, don't we?
Yep.
Yeah, that should be more fun. And we need a late something later, you know.
Just overall in life.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, and for that too, by the way, they need Dr. Death. They need JR.
Dr. Death, of course, is passed.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is true. Thank you for reminding me of that. So, my bad. Bart Gunn's alive, though, right?
Bart Gunn is alive, yeah.
Yep. Butterbean is as well.
Butterbean is alive, yeah.
Yeah, so you need both of them on there. I mean, you're going to need JR to talk about it. I mean, I'd love JBL on it as well, but he obviously can't be part of it. So it should be. I don't know. I don't know if he would or not. I mean, I'd like him on there.
I don't know. I don't know.
Because isn't that Barca knocked him out in the finals to get to Butterbean, did he not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember you know who needs to be on there? You know who needs to be on there? And really needs to be on there, and probably is Russo.
Well, Russo is. The preview I saw had Cornette and Russo threatening one another. Just so,
Jesus Christ.
Some things never change.
Well,
tale is all this time.
That was the biggest knock I had against the Montreal Screwjob, was it just ended with the two of them bickering like an old married
couple. And that's why Brett hated it. When the guys were interviewed on Jericho's podcast, they said, any wrestler give you feedback of who didn't like it? And they said Brett wished he never was part of it because of the fact that he didn't like the Cornette and Russo bickering back and forth, and he didn't like the overall tone of how it was displayed. He thought it was going to be something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Well, so Brett wasn't a big fan of it.
I don't blame him.
No. Yeah.
No.
Well,
he said it became just a kind of difference. He's like, for the most part, it was okay, but then it became a situation. And I wish I would have known this before him when I got a chance to talk to him. I would have asked him about it. But he, from what the understanding of the guys were saying to them, is it was a situation where it was about Montreal, but then it got into a Cornette and Russo pissing match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Cornette literally saying he wants to piss on Russo's grave.
Well, I mean, he literally does, but still.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
No. I feel like the next one could go a little off the rails. Then the one after that is Jimmy Snuka. Then the one after that is Dino Bravo.
That's the one I want. I want this Dino Bravo one.
Then the next one after that is the Dr. D David Schultz. And then that's Herb Abrams. Herb Abrams and the UWF, then the Road Warriors, and then
Owen.
Yeah.
Warriors is going to be, by the way, really fun and then really sad.
It'll be really interesting.
Hawk's substance abuse alone.
Well, yeah, and I mean, they're...
Well?
How honest are they going to be about how good the team was? Because they're super influential, but really weren't that good a team.
No, you know? I've watched back a lot of older Manias this week. I got my Hawk down. Hawk promos are fucking great, by the way. Well,
yes. Those were fantastic.
Well.
I used to watch play Russell Fest just hoping I could get to the Road Boys just so I could hear the digitized version of him saying that. Well. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you still have the Road Warriors pop. And do you, though? Or now is it the Austin pop?
It's the Austin pop.
Is it the Austin, like, coming out for Foley pop that we kind of talk about for that Austin pop now?
I guess it's probably the Austin pop to modern fans, but originally you would call it the Road Warrior pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the UWF? I don't know as much about that. Anything you know about that, Mo?
Yeah. UWF, that was they were a fairly popular promotion. They had guys like Terry Taylor and Steve Williams was there, and Ted DiBiase and such. Anyways, they were eventually bought out by Crockett.
And St. Louis?
Pardon me?
Is that in
St. Louis?
Where,
I don't think it was St. No, St. Louis was Wrestling by the Chase. That was the different one.
Right.
UWF was. But so they had these guys, and their thing of, and I don't know if this is the story. I don't know what they're talking about, but I assume this is it. They were bought out with all this promise, and the guys getting all this promise, and brought in and jobbed out to Jim Crockett, who had bought them out, jobbed them all out and completely ruined the Federation and every guy in it.
God.
So Jesus. I don't know if that sounds familiar.
Yeah, sounds very familiar. Then sounds like Crockett was a little bit of a hypocrite when he criticized Vince for it.
Yeah, yeah. So that, I mean, that's UWF, and but yeah, in about 1987, for a little while, they had quite a bit of momentum.
Yeah. You know?
And
yeah.
I think DiBiase and Hacksaw was the big feud there shortly before. Yeah.
Hacksaw was fucking over in those times. Jeez.
Oh yeah, Hacksaw and the Independents. People don't, you know, before he got to the WWE, people don't even understand like how big he was. Like, you know, him and JYD. And
I was gonna about to say JYD. Were,
yeah, like, in, you know, selling out 40,000, you know, seats into New Orleans and stuff like that. Like, just yeah, like huge.
I will say the one nice thing on the network now is because 70% of the network is free now, right? So
yeah, I haven't checked it out at all. Like that.
So the nice thing is you can go on your Apple TV in Canada, which we can't do. But you can go on your Apple TV now and you can go to certain things and find things, which has been a blessing. And I've been able to go back and watch. That's why I watched a lot more this week, quite honestly, because for those who don't know, in Canada, we have a channel. We can go on our iPads, but not really because it's fucked up that way as well. So it's been nice kind of having the access to go on the Apple TV. And I've watched so much stuff from the 80s lately. I've seen so many SD Jones matches and just him getting jobbed out. But watching a lot of the 80s one, Tuesday nights, stuff, and just I think that's kind of why, Mo, I asked you so many older questions today on trivia, is because I've been watching a lot of that, and it's just
I did okay on
great.
The newer ones, but yeah, definitely you asking those older ones helped me.
Actually, let's see if Joel can get the one stumper.
Well, before we do that, I have a correction. UWF isn't actually on the promotion bought by Cornette Crockett. It's actually the Universal Wrestling Federation, and it was a promotion owned by Herb Abrams that ran from 1990 to 1996. I'm not sure what sort of...
It has the same name.
It has the same name. It ran in California.
Oh.
Interesting. Okay.
All right, Joel, this stumps Adam and Mo on trivia. I'll see if you can get this because I feel like you could do this. All right, so at WrestleMania 30 in the Vicky Guerrero Invitational for the Divas Championship, who won the Divas Championship? Was it Nikki Bella, Naomi, Tamina, or AJ Lee?
This was the Battle Royal, right?
It wasn't a Battle Royal. It was first one to submit or pin their opponent in the match. But there was a bunch of women in it, yes.
I'm thinking.
I have a second part to this afterwards.
It's got to be...
Thinking, yeah.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah. I'm going to go with AJ Lee.
Okay, so you got that part right. Now, how long after winning that match did AJ Lee hold her title, and who did she lose to?
All right, so 30 was 2014. Punk was gone. How long did she hold that for? Did she lose? I think she lost it to, I want to say, because she had that, oh wait, was that, she lost that next night to Paige.
There you go!
Oh my gosh, he did.
There you go!
Wow.
Fuck yeah. We should have had you versus Mo. We should have done you versus Mo.
Because the only reason I remember this is because of fighting with my family and Paige looking out and seeing the CGI WrestleMania 30 set talking to Rocky. And I was like, so if she won, then that means Paige would have won the next night.
Yes.
Yeah, that was her debut. Yeah, that's right. I forgot she won the title right away.
Yeah. Good one, Joel. Stump them with that one there. So maybe I should have done you versus Mo for trivia.
Okay, give him a couple I got right here. Let's go really quickly here. Okay.
And then we'll just tease them for the paper. I'll give you one more, Joel. I'll give you one of the hard ones.
That I got right?
Well, one that you got right, one more that Adam got
wrong. So we've
been
talking about for all.
Did Adam get any right? Actually, I don't want to say that for the podcast. It's not out yet, so yeah. We'll see what happens. I'll give one more to Joel. Okay, Joel, this is one that Mo got wrong as well. Which of the following matches opened WrestleMania 2000? Oh. Was it the Hardcore Invitational, TLC, Godfather and D'Lo versus Bull Buchanan and Big Boss Man, or Chris Jericho versus Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit?
I'm going to say the last one. I've never seen WrestleMania 2000, so...
Oh, really? Actually, no, it's not good, is it, Mo? It's pretty bad. You're going to say Benoit, Kurt, and Jericho?
I'm wrong, aren't I?
Yeah, Mo gets that as well. It's D'Lo and Godfather versus Bull and Big Boss Man.
It seems weird because I've never seen the card. Now I'm looking it up. And just
the main event has the four-way corner match. That's when Foley unretired.
Yeah.
And you had a McMahon in every corner.
Yeah. Like, looking, that's weird. But, I mean, it makes sense that you have that, the IC and European title place where it is, because that's probably the only quality match outside of the TLC match. Like, you only really have the TLC match... And then that match, and everything else looks horrendous.
Tell me if I'm wrong, Mo. Is that the one that has the glass cookie jar, and it was supposed to be work glass, and Hardcore bashes that? I think it's on Crashes or Taz Head, but they didn't make it working glass, and it was real glass, and whoever got it got like 10 stitches in the back of their head.
See, and I don't remember that. I remember that same thing happening. I can't remember who it was, but I remember somebody hitting... Boss Man was supposed to be in, but I think it was on a Raw, was supposed to be work glass, and right. It didn't break because it wasn't.
Apparently, yeah, it was Crash.
Glad they stopped doing that.
It was Crash? Yeah, okay, yeah. There's a cookie jar on the announcer's desk, and the spot's supposed to happen, and Hardcore goes to do it to Crash, and Crash just collapses on the ground. And remember, Crash is when he's like winning all the titles. I can't remember who wins that match again. I think it is Crash. But then he's like concussed for a bit because it was real glass in the back of his head.
Brutal.
Wait, yeah. Now I got a question because I'm going through and I'm reading about the card and everything. So yeah. They had a fatal four-way elimination match.
Yeah. Every McMahon in a corner.
And Big Show eliminated, Rocky eliminated Big Show.
Yeah.
And then Foley was eliminated by Hunter, and then Rocky, it was Rocky and Hunter. And then Hunter
Vince
wins.
Because Vince turned on The Rock, I believe.
And so is that the start of the Reign of Terror?
Yeah.
Oh, is it? That's a good question. Yeah.
I think so. No, because Rock and... Because X7's the next one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, X7 is definitely Rock and...
This is McMahon-Helmsley era, though.
Yeah. And then
X8... This is just after, because Foley and Hunter faced each other 2 months ago at the Hell in the Cell, where Foley... falls through again with the barbed wire flaming bat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So by the way, how funny is that? When they have any sort of like, we're just talking about this. When they have any sort of excuse like, oh, you know, the concussions, we didn't know, and we're not liable for anything to the guys in the past. I'm like, I'm just listening to this. It's just mind numbing to hear these different.
I mean,
yeah.
And you know what's funny is, Joel, when we did trivia, we go back and look at the 35 card, and I asked how many things that could be remembered, and it went bad. But then I can remember a lot of stuff from this era pretty easily, even as bad as the show is. I can remember stuff from that show.
There are pockets of WrestleManias that I remember. Like, I was at 35, and there are things that I completely forget that
I saw. Can you tell me who the Intercontinental Champion is at 35, Joel?
That's Bobby Lashley, because Finn takes it from
him. Oh, there you go. Okay. We haven't stopped the guys for a second.
I'm still sitting there going, really? So Samoa Joe had a match?
Yeah.
See, and that's the thing. Like being there live definitely ingrains into your memory more, but if you asked me about 34, like I'm pulling up the results for 34. I got some questions. Who won the 30-man Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale?
Is that Corbin?
Nope. That's close.
Is that Ginger?
Nope. It was Matt
Hardy. Is that Cesaro?
Matt Hardy. Ray came out and helped him.
Yeah. Nice. What 3% participants were in the triple threat match for the IC title.
Oh, that was Seth. That was Miz and Finn.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I think I might have been able to do that if you hadn't, but maybe not.
I also saw that like 2 days ago. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who wrestled for the Raw Women's Championship?
Was that not everybody but Bayley?
Nope.
No. It's not Charlotte because she faces Asuka.
Yeah.
Oh, that was okay. Year before.
That was SmackDown. So for Raw at that time, the champion was it not? Wasn't Ronda? Ronda wasn't there yet, was she? No, because Ronda did the match with Kurt and Hunter and everyone, right?
Yep.
Okay, so Becky wasn't part of it. Sasha wasn't part of it.
I feel like it's Alexa Bliss and Nia?
Bliss and Nia, yeah. You're right.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had the subpar AJ and Nakamura match because Vince didn't want it to go far. Yep. Then we had Braun Strowman win with a little kid over Cesaro and Sheamus. And
yep.
Roman Reigns had his coronation and beat Brock Lesnar, right? Right?
Nope.
No, they weren't smart. And
then Brock felt through the belt at Vince. Probably a work, but still funny.
Was it a work? He was pissed. I don't think it was a work.
So, because it's just fun to talk about wrestling, especially in this state. I saw from Survivor Series a year ago, 2 years ago, Daniel versus Brock.
It's on YouTube now.
And that's how I watched it. And just seeing how well Brock sold for Brian and just how well the two of them worked, it's crazy because Brock takes all this heat for being, doesn't want to work here, only does limited dates. If you can make millions of dollars and barely do anything, I don't think any person in their right mind wouldn't sign on that dotted line and be like, yeah, sure, yeah, give me the money. I'm perfectly content with that. And you can just see how he's worked with guys that are actual wrestlers.
Well, if you look at him, like Goldberg, I mean, he's the one who said put Goldberg over because he knew he could make more money that way. Mm-hmm. Like, he's all about making the money. And the thing is, he is a total professional if he likes and respects the guy.
Yeah.
You know? Which
Strowman.
Makes you wonder what.
Remember Strowman at that room? Yeah.
Yeah.
Strowman pissed him off, gave him the hard shot. He's like, don't fuck with me.
Yep. No, exactly. But if he likes you, then he will be, which makes you wonder what he thought about John Moxley.
Well, I mean, you talked about, Dean's kind of talked about what he did with it and didn't go to Brock's standard. And that's why Brock was just gave him the quick match because he didn't give a shit about it.
Yep.
So. Yeah. It seems really interesting because, like, you remember kind of hearing about that. And that mania, I don't know about that mania, because that just seemed like a very long, drawn-out mania.
Is that Brock's worst? I know the Roman matches aren't good. I'm not saying that, but that the Mox match.
The first Roman match was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, actually.
Everyone
was
good.
Is the Mox-Brock match the most disappointing Brock mania match, other than Goldberg and him at 20?
Aside from that. Taker. I
love him in gold, or him in 20. You said 20. Okay, my mistake.
Yeah. No, the other Goldberg one is really good.
I didn't think his match against Triple H was any great shakes.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean,
if we're talking
about mania matches, if we're talking about regular matches, I was really disappointed with the CM Punk match at SummerSlam.
Really? I like that one.
I do as well.
Yeah. Maybe I need to give it another try.
Yeah, I recently rewatched Punk and Taker the other day. Holy fuck, it's good.
Oh, that was great.
Fucking good. It's real. I mean, if that's the last match that Taker has before the streak goes, great. That was a great final win for him. That match is great.
Yeah, that match was great.
I also watched Taker versus.
You're just making me wish he wasn't wrestling this year. That's all you're doing.
Hey,
that's all you're succeeding in doing.
It's the Boneyard, Domo! It's the Boneyard!
Oh.
You know what you do in a boneyard?
No.
Michelle McCool, my wife. I like tigers, too. I'm the real Tiger King.
That's right. He does a promo for Joe Exotic, doesn't he?
He did, yeah. That's where I think he got one of the, I think that's where he got the Tigers from. I could be wrong.
That is, yeah, that I'm 90% sure that's where he got the Tigers from.
We all know who the real Tiger King is. It's Scott Steiner. He came out with an actual tiger.
I mean, it's actually Mike Tyson.
I don't remember that.
No,
that's funny just to talk about what we remember and don't remember. And the things we feel like we should remember but don't.
I just remember Steiner coming out with the Freaks.
Well, yeah. I'll never forget.
Yeah.
Medasia, was that her
name? Medasia, yeah. Yeah, Medasia. I remember, like, wasn't it him and Randy had a match? And that's the first time I saw Molly Holly ever. Because he had her as, what, Miss Madness at that time?
Macho Man had her as Miss Madness, yeah.
And then
Gorgeous
he had
George at the same time.
Gorgeous George, yeah. And then I was like, oh, Gorgeous George, I always heard this was a great wrestler. And she's not that good of a wrestler. And then I found out that there was two different people called Gorgeous George.
Yeah, I'm allowed to say. that's... You're all right, I'll forgive it.
Speaking about bad wrestlers in WCW, Major Guns. Just throwing out random names. What's she up to now? I know, but we're talking about it on the podcast.
I assume she's working as a stripper.
No, she's she can be on a site that you can find pretty easily right now. But moving on. So, anyways, you wanted to talk about what else you want to talk about, Joel?
We've already gone off the rails at this point. Yeah. We can just talk about whatever we want. Might as well.
Well, let's talk about The Miz and how he's not awesome. Talk about that.
What a way to throw
You want to tell it or do you want me to go with it?
You tell it.
Okay.
You had to tell me about it, so might as well tell everybody else.
So as far as we know, I don't know the full details of the story yet. About this time, you say this time last week, Joel, this started coming out?
Yeah.
So around this time last week, we had like a misinformation mania. Like there was misinformation about WrestleMania. So around this time last week, you know, Roman had dropped out, right? And we can talk about I think we've talked about the Roman thing. But, you know, at this point last week, we thought for WrestleMania, there'd be no Miz. There'd be no Edge. There'd be no KO. For this, and maybe no Usos all of a sudden. None of them are there, and KO going to come from Ontario and all that. And anyways, those guys are on the show. We know that now. But then we found out Roman dropped out, and everyone's like, well, why is Roman dropping out? This is interesting. But in the few days prior, find out that Ray and Dana Brooke were sent home because they felt sick. Like, okay, well, that's bizarre. So I guess that almost our Angel Garza Humberto match isn't going to happen anymore because I don't know if you're going to do it without Ray or not. And then they had the weird Almos and Garza tag team, which is now Austin Theory getting maybe the biggest break in WWE history since I can really remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so fast forward to whatever the SmackDown taping is, probably the one before the Lion King-esque part where Elias falls to his death from King Corbin. I don't know if either one of you guys saw that or not.
No, you don't make me want to.
No, it's literally. Do you see it, Joel?
Oh, I saw it. I saw it.
It's,
long
it's
live
like,
the king.
It's like Lion King so much. Anyways, the more serious story of this is they tape WrestleMania, The Miz, New Day, Usos have that ladder match. Comes out afterwards, The Miz worked it sick. We don't know if it's COVID. It's not believed to be COVID. Could be just be as simple as the flu. But all we know is that the Miz had symptoms that showed he had at least flu-like symptoms and was sick. But he still went on to do the TLC match. We're assuming this is on night one, perhaps, because the Usos find this out pretty much after the match. And according to Dave Meltzer, run to Roman. And then Roman pieces out from that point, and that's why Roman's not on the show anymore. So just completely irresponsible of the Miz to be in that state and say, well, screw it. I'm just going to do the match and then I'll tell everybody afterwards.
Wow.
We don't know how much of this is true or not. We don't know how much 100% of this is true. This is just reported right now by Meltzer.
Yeah, which means it's probably true.
I agree.
Because he really doesn't report unless he vets his sources very carefully.
Yeah.
Joel? That's brutal.
Well, so when you hear a story like this, And then you hear Roman piecing out because of the leukemia. Your initial thought should have been, well, one of our main stars for WrestleMania is autoimmune. We should not be risking his life for a pay-per-view. And think about, I think Brian as well is autoimmune deficient.
Yeah, Brie brought that up on a podcast recently, how she doesn't really feel comfortable. And Brian has to come home, and Brie brought this up on her podcast. He has to go and quarantine in a separate Seattle hotel before he can see Birdie and Brie again for 14 days.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the sacrifice he made to Russell for this stupid card.
Yep.
So you have two of those, and you sit there and you think, okay, maybe we should just hold off and wait, and let's see what happens in a few weeks. If things continue to get worse, we'll call it a night, turn the lights off. We can turn them back on in a month or so. It's going to suck. All the momentum is going to be lost for a lot of performers, but I feel like you do a 2-3 week build, it's easy enough to get everything back and get the momentum back. And at the end of the day, it's pro wrestling. Who cares? Just pull a pin in it. I mean, it's looking more and more like we're not going to be getting new episodes of AEW where they'll be performing like they did last night. It sounds like from all indications I've gotten, they're only taped up to the night after Raw, and they've already said that they may pull stuff if they can't keep going. This is very serious. This is a very real world. We're all being affected by it in some way or another, some more than others. And you can't sit there and argue with God about it. You can't fight. You can't kick and scream. No matter how much you say, God damn it, pal, I just need one more show. You just need to call it, send everyone home, let everyone stay safe. And then when things calm down in probably 2022, then you can start back up with pro wrestling.
2022? You're saying 2 years?
Well, it's a joke because we don't have any idea how long this is going to last. Because there is no way of predicting.
Well, I know Kirk Herbstreit, who I have a lot of respect for, is the college football broadcaster for ESPN. He said he can't foresee seeing college football for 18 months. From everything he's talked about, so
yeah,
the reality is, it's time to just pull the plug, let it sit, let everything. Because I mean, I can pull up the numbers right now fairly easy. I can pull up the graphs for the COVID-19 cases,
it's a million.
You look at it and you go, holy crap. This isn't flattening just yet. This isn't calming down. This isn't changing.
Well, even China, man, they were going to reopen the CBA, and now they're shut down for another month.
Yeah, as they should. Nothing should be moving. Like, you look at it, we've crossed a million with cases now, so we're at that point. We're at 53,000 deaths. This is bigger than pro wrestling. I mean, when you can see from space. And apparently, the International Space Station looked down and saw the size of a football field of just digging in Iran, and was like, "What are you guys doing over there?" "Oh, nothing. We're not digging anything." "Well, we can see this from space." "Oh, we're just infrastructure. Don't worry about it." "Well, what is it?" It may or may not be graves."
"Oh my God."
"For COVID-19.
I was so afraid you were gonna say that."
And that's exactly at this point in time, when a country is building a football size mass graves, when New York has the semi trucks of ice for the bodies, for Spain using skating rinks, pro wrestling doesn't matter. You just pull the plug and you move on. And that's where what Miz did is fundamentally irresponsible, and the reason why this is taking longer. And it is going to take longer because there's going to be that person that's like, well, I got to get this done. I got to go do this. I got to go do that.
You're making me sick to my stomach just hearing that.
Seriously. You work in the news enough, you hear all this, and you just kind of get numb to it. And you kind of go, well, this is the way it is.
Well, you know, you hear the infants and every. I kind of made the thing for Fresh Take. We're not here to talk about the doom and gloom in this. We're here to lead to entertainment. So I'm going to say this, and then we're going to move on. But the age range and everything has obviously changed for things. And, you know, you heard infants and some children now that are getting sick and unfortunately passing away from this. And Miz has two children.
Yeah.
And should be thinking about that. And that's something that Roman brought up as well. He's like, I have a child. I may have a newborn that I'm not going to tell you about because none of your damn business. And he's like, I have other priorities that I'm going to concern myself with. So I think Roman, I mean, applause to him for standing up for the more important things. And Miz put everyone at risk. I don't know if Miz being sick was the one that got Dana sick and Ray sick. Even if it is just the flu, you're in a situation now for the company I work for. If you have the flu, go home. Period. I don't care if you have the flu or if it's COVID. Just stay home, period. If you have either one of those.
It's become, so you sit there and you look at it and you go, you look at every, and you look at how quickly this spread for WWE in their locker room. And how, like, it went from one person to Ray, Dana, and Miz out. And I think there may be a few others. I think Bobby Lashley was also quarantined.
He was. That's why I don't know. It's weird. We'll do the card tomorrow. I did the card already for one show. And you're like, I don't know if this match is happening. It's still like, promoted.
And that again speaks to, like, the one admonishment I will give towards AEW is them promoting in 2 weeks Hager versus Moxley. And I'm like, unless they've already taped it and it's in the can, it's not.
They're still promoting Double or Nothing for the TNT title, which I think is really careless.
I think that's just stupid, yeah.
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 I think that there is that holdout hope, but I think the reality is those tickets that I have for Double or Nothing mean nothing.
No.
They're not going to be used. And I mean, even if the border hypothetically opened up, I don't think I want to go and be in a cesspool of germs and people. No offense to the people around me. I'm sure they're very
Yeah, they're wrestling fans. They're wrestling fans.
Yeah.
A little bit of offense.
Yeah, they were already dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you gonna say on it?
What am I gonna say on it? As far as them?
Oh,
Miz. Oh, I thought you were talking AEW now. Forgot we had started all this with Miz. It is the children thing that hits home to me the most about it. Like, you're a dad, and not only are you a dad, but you, other people in the locker room are dads. How do you do that?
Kofi is in that match and is a dad, by the way, as well.
Yeah, like, how do you do that? Not to mention just all the other ways that this thing can spread, you know, despite, I don't know, man. I understand the concept of you're taught when you get into this business, you're taught, make your dates, you know, make your shots, you know, it's goes back a long ways. The whole idea of, you know, making your shots and being professional, and that's what you do. Always bring your gear, blah, blah, blah. You know, and the WWE puts a lot of pressure on people for a long time. And Miz had to work a long ways to get to the point where he found acceptance in the locker room. So I'm sure I'd like to think he just made a dumb mistake. And not that he's that bad or a person, or I don't think he's an idiot. So, I mean, it's either he just made a mistake and screwed up, at which point say I made a mistake and screw up, or you're that bad a person. I really hope it's not that second one.
I mean, it could be something as simple as they had the match, he started coughing after, you know, they came down for the ladder match, like, good show, good show, good show, good job. And they started coughing, and then one of the Usos was like, oh, what's up with that? Oh, yeah, I've been fighting something for the last few days. What? What are you talking about? And then leading to that. It could be something as harmless as that.
That's not harmless anymore.
Well, to him, he could just be like, oh, I'm just kind of finding something and not thinking about it, which he should have. Because, again, the company I work for, if you have the flu or you feel anything, go the fuck home.
And it's worth saying that this is not a small company you work for. This is a major. This is a major company.
So I mean, how they're handling people in the back too, like you know, I know we can say whatever we want about Vince. I'm just you know, think about your boss too. Like I know Vince has a pretty strong immune system, more than likely. I don't know, but still, like you got a 70-year-old guy. Like still, like you got Vince in the back there. I doubt Patterson's there. Maybe Michael Hayes is back there as well. Like. Gotta think about those guys as well.
Yeah, it's really that's a disturbing story. You know?
Well, so the story apparently goes that Miz came to the WrestleMania tapings while displaying symptoms of an undetermined illness and spent time around other wrestlers and staff members before being sent home.
But he did the match.
I don't know if he did the match or not.
See, this is the thing about this fucking card. We have the Roman match still fucking going 2 days, 48 hours before this fucking show. We have the fucking tag team ladder match still fucking promoted 48 hours before this show. And we have Bobby and Aleister Black promoted 48 hours before this show. What the hell?
Like, when you look at this, like, Buddy Murphy was supposed to be on this card, and he's quarantined. Like, you've got such a long list of names.
Yeah, and I didn't even know that. I talked the whole thing today about him coming out to save Seth and Joe coming out to talk about KO.
Buddy's so under 14. I didn't even know that. Yeah. So we're... This... Like, I'm starting to see non-wrestling friends posting articles about WrestleMania happening, and I'm always like, please don't ask me about this because I don't have
I've had so many wrestling fans ask me. Some of them just want to watch it. They're like, oh, WrestleMania's this week, how can I watch it? But some others people, are like, I'm surprised it's happening.
People do want to you know, an escape. That said, the ratings show that not many people want an escape.
No.
Well, for either AEW's fallen, NXT's fallen, and Raw really fell.
What was AEW's this last week? I haven't seen
600.
Yeah.
This point, it's just time to pull the plug and wait it out. I mean, you can do, like, if you wanted to do a whole series on the battle of drones between the Jared Drone 5000 versus Vanguard 1, and just have Jericho film it all himself in his little home where he's staying isolated at, no problem with that. That works. You can do a video of Moxley reviewing stuff. Like, there are ways to do other content.
Yeah, if you're only going to get 600,000 viewers anyways, you might as well be safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's not worth getting into a situation. So, you look at this WrestleMania card, and, like, you look, it has 16 match listed, and so it's... eight a night, and it's been confirmed that it's 3 hours and 15 minutes a pop. So that means this would have been 6.5 hours live, hypothetically.
Well, so we don't know what pre-show would have been, by the way, either. We don't know if more matches for the pre-show would have been added.
I don't want to think about it.
I also think some of these matches happen because they couldn't have a battle royal. So, like, Lashley and Black, which is a stupid fucking match, and I don't want to get into it right now. We'll save it for the preview. But they're just like, well, we want Aleister Black to get a win on this, and maybe we'd have them do something in the Battle Royal, but we'll just have it here instead. Just have a separate match instead of having the Battle Royal happen, so you give them a shine that way. So see, that as well.
I'm curious to see, because the plan to do the preview show is tomorrow after we've got through SmackDown. I hope this card has changed. I hope we see a lot of the finality of the cards, but I fear for even night two, we're not going to know everything until night one's done. So you're going to kind of
possible.
So we're going to be sitting there. They're going to be advertising things all the way up to the end of night one. And you're going to be like, well, you're not delivering this. Like, the card is subject to change, but you know, you've already filmed all this, so you know what you're giving me.
Our subject to change. That's only so much of an excuse.
You have your main star on Instagram saying he's not at the show. The word's out. He's not there.
And you got so many people that are... I mean, they've taped multiple endings for matches.
Yeah.
And multiple endings for the actual shows as to what could be the last match and how they want to go off. because they're worried about spoilers. These people got to get their heads out of their ass. They're focused on the wrong shit. I'm sorry.
Yep. They need to let the people get on. I mean, you're talking about Brian, you know, the guy, he can't see his wife and his kid. I mean, and look, this is Brian. I mean, watching Total Divas, I got, when I did watch it, I did see Brian like have this mental breakdown, and it was hard to watch of him just like not, he was having a daughter on the way and he had his wife and everything, mm-hmm. but he really struggled without wrestling in his life. And he's putting himself in a situation now that I will do anything for this, because this is realistically probably more important to him than Birdie and Bree.
No, I don't. I refuse to believe that.
At least it, probably not, but it's like, right at third for him. What?
I just refuse to believe.
Oh, I it's probably not true, but it's probably.
I know. I understand the point you're making is that.
Yeah.
This is
it was the wrong point of overlapping it, but the point is it's pretty high on his trajectory of what matters to him.
Absolutely, it is. There's no question of that.
So yeah, I don't know. It's what do you? I mean, now the fact that when Roman did the Instagram. Was that not a good enough sign for them to be like Goldberg, at least versus Mr. like versus question mark instead of full Roman still?
Yeah, continuing to advertise it.
Advertise it
makes no sense. It makes no sense. Everybody knows, but on the other hand, I don't know. Again, but who can get inside the head of Vince McMahon? Nobody right? Nobody no can get should. Inside the heads of Vince McMahon.
No one should try to get into that man's head, because I feel like that's like looking at the sun directly and your face is going to melt off, because it's just going to be just like, I don't know what to say. Your face will melt off, because he just seems so insane. He's a better put together version of New Jack in some ways. Because look at even some of the stuff that he did over the years for wrestling, for stunts, just the beatings he's taken, just like the I think the image of Vince McMahon, one of the first things that pop into my head is him popping up from under the from behind the ring, bloodied and that evil grin on his face. That's the image I have of McMahon that is forever ingrained in my memory. And I do think at some point, like Flair, like New Jack, Vince doesn't perceive what reality is. He's in his little wrestling bubble, and the rest of us all can enter into the wrestling bubble for a moment, then leave it and go, oh yeah, it's just pro wrestling. Like,
here's the thing. This is clearly all for him though.
Yeah.
Because the fans don't want it. The wrestlers don't want it.
They did a poll. They did a poll. 81% of wrestling fans do not want WrestleMania and would like it to be postponed or canceled.
Yeah, and in case you're wondering, that poll had 47,000 people who responded. So it's not like it's a tiny, tiny poll. It's a fair, you know. But my thing about it is, okay, WrestleMania is probably your most valuable their most valuable property. I think it's more valuable than
Look
Raw.
Look at the rating it did for ESPN. It did a great rating for ESPN.
It's more valuable than Raw. It's more valuable than any single wrestler's name. It's more. I think it's probably, arguably, I think it's more valuable name than WWE. It's you know,
because
it's
things put Mania at the end of it, right?
Exactly.
Like Shuffle-mania, because they started that.
And they started with Hulkamania, and then it went to WrestleMania, and then.
Yeah.
It's such a valuable property, and I feel like this. Going on like this with this little interest and in front of no people is going to make it from here on out never seem as important again. And it's like, you know what it's like? It's like when you get a wrestler who maybe they're like a mid-card or maybe not that over, but they get an injury and they're gone for like a year. When they come back, they get a massive reaction. That's what WrestleMania should be. If they didn't do it, it would get that pop and be more important. It would get the pop that Sami Zayn got when he came back. Mm-hmm. That's what it would be. And that's how they should be looking at it. But they're not.
See,
I don't get it.
It seems very weird, because to me, if I'm Vincent Kennedy McMahon, I'm sitting there thinking, well, bloody hell, we just put a pin in this. And then when we put this show on, it's going to be a massive deal because people will be just clamoring for this moment. It's just like for AEW, Blood and Guts, when they put that on, when they finally have that.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point.
It's going to click, and people are going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. I am so excited to watch this.
They made such a good call delay in that. I got to give them so much credit on that. And that's a
right
great
after
point
you
had
like eviscerated them for advertising.
Yep. Yep. I really didn't like it. I thought it was a really bad move, and good for them to do it. I was talking about this to Joel afterwards, and we talked about it on one pod I did, but you also think too of like, I try to get excited for this Mania. And as I kind of went on the card, I'm like, okay, like I'm kind of excited to see that match and that match. And look, I'm a hypocrite. I want it to be postponed, but I'm going to watch it because whatever, WrestleMania, it's on and I'm interested. And I think that's a lot of those 81 people too. It's like, I'd prefer it to be postponed, but it's on, I'm going to watch it. I was thinking about, you know, not having the crowd and who it's going to affect the most. And I was thinking, oh man, it's going to suck them to have Drew this. And I feel bad for people like Shayna and Rhea. Like this is their chance to have that WrestleMania, but it's Otis because Shayna Baszler will be fine. More than likely. Right. She'll have other WrestleMania moments. Rhea probably will. Drew probably potentially could. This is it for Otis. This is his Damian Sandow moment. He's going to beat Ziggler. He's going to get the kiss from Mandy and everyone would go crazy. And now he's going to beat Ziggler, kiss from Mandy and nothing.
That's a good point. That's very possible.
Yeah.
It's very possible that this is the one shot for this guy.
And for him, it's going to be all about how he gets the crowd ovation for the kiss on Mandy. Because he'll beat Ziggler and people go crazy. And then Mandy's going to stand in the corner, come up on the ring and look at Ziggler and go by Ziggler. And then finally they're going to tease it. They're going to tease it. And then they're going to kiss. Everyone's going to be like, yes!
But I mean, he's so charismatic. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, he'll make it work. But without the crowd, it doesn't. I don't know. Without the
crowd, I'm just saying. I'm just saying maybe he'll get another shot because he's
maybe right.
You know, so charismatic. He is a crazy charismatic guy.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, yeah.
But this was the moment. A good chance. This is it.
Yeah. So that sucks for him. I mean, a guy like Austin Theory, a great wrestler. No. I don't know what that means.
Too green. Not ready and still getting the shot. That's what you meant to say.
Yeah. I mean,
it seemed very weird that they're pushing Theory. Like, I feel like he was just a body and they saw him and it's like, you, we'll use you for this.
Well, can you think of anybody that's been like elevated like that?
Well, it makes you wonder what's the point of all the bullshit they tell us about how important the you know, freaking
PC is
in the first place. If Vince likes your look, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. I could think of somebody who was not much longer, a little bit longer, but not much longer. And that was Apollo Crews and it did not go well for him.
I had Fandango.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was around for a while though. Just
and
not
the
as
concussion.
Fandango.
If he didn't have that concussion, right with the IC title.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, he was set to do it, and then he got the concussion, and then Vince was done with him. Same with Del Rio, I think, as well.
Oh, it happens all the time. Mustafa Ali was a year ago challenging for the title. Challenging Daniel Bryan for the title. He got hurt, and he's been healthy forever and hasn't been on TV. This is where when they talk about, you know, why the guys do this, is because they are afraid of losing their spot because that bullshit does still happen.
Ricochet.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. So now, what we look, it's a little bit of a different topic, but it's a question that popped into my head. You look at Ricochet's trajectory, you look at what he was able to do in NXT, and I thought he had a good run in NXT. I thought matches with Gargano was good. I thought the match that I saw with him and Black versus the War Raiders, I don't know what they're called anymore. Yeah. I'm just gonna go with that. His program,
they were more Raiders.
The ladder match, his debut ladder match. I thought he had a really good run, and I thought even when he came up to the main roster, I thought he was doing all right. I thought he was in an okay spot. Mo, where did they go wrong with Ricochet?
Where did they go wrong?
Or is this on Ricochet?
No, this isn't on Ricochet. This is on Vince.
The superhero shit was number one. It's like what he did with Neville, right? He's the man that defied gravity. It's that kind of shit.
Well, there's some of that, but it's also very much he's small. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, he is still small. And at the end of the day, it is still Vince McMahon.
And I don't think he trusts the high-flying guys either. Like, how many guys have he had? The Evan Bournes come in, get the push, gets hurt. RVD comes
in, gets hurt. He gets infatuated with the high-flying guys, and especially the idea that they can get over for a short period of time. All the time. It's like, for a little while. Yeah. It doesn't last. But it's Vince. He's still stuck in another era when it comes to the fan. It's like, did you guys hear the Brody Lee interview with Jericho and all the notes on that?
I did, yeah.
I saw
that. Well, like, the one that struck to me, Mo, was Brody goes. He's like, I'm fucking done. I'm just going to ask for my release or whatever. So he goes, waits outside Vince's office for 5 hours. They end their meeting. Michael Hayes or Carano comes to him. He's like, yeah, I want to talk to Vince. Oh, Vince is doing it. He left. He's busy. He's like, what the fuck? Yeah. So then he writes that long text to Vince and be like, you're obviously not using me. It's all fucking good. Like, thanks for your time. Like, thanks for having me and everything you've done for me. I really do appreciate that, but maybe it's time for him to move on. Vince calls him. Goddamn, pal, what's up? And he's like, I don't know what you guys are doing for me. Like, I appreciate you guys using me, but like, I'm not getting, having me and giving me an opportunity, but you're not using me. And he's like, well, aren't you in the battle royal? And he's like, no. And he's like, well, goddamn, you should be. And then he hears from the writers, well, goddamn, why aren't we doing stuff with Luke Harper? Let's do some stuff with Luke Harper. And Luke's like, all right, cool. Let's go. I'm going to do this battle royal. And he had a decent showing in that battle royal. And then nothing after that. And he's like, what the fuck?
Well, it's the same thing, right? Vince looks at him and does, he's from New York. He's a well-spoken guy. Vince looks at him and sees Hillbilly. That's all he sees. He comes up with some characters, really interesting signed in characters. Vince, you know, doesn't get it because he doesn't see him as that. He only sees him as one thing, which is a guy. So he goes, and Vince tells him, come in, do a Southern accent for your character. We're going to have you do a Southern accent. And he said, oh, I'm from New York. I don't think I can do a good Southern accent. So Vince says, well, just try for me, pal. So he tries, and, you know, it's not very good. And Vince goes, you know what, I agree, that's not very good. And then it's done. The next week he comes to work, he gets handed a script, and there in the script it says, in a Southern drawl, that Harper says. Vince is, he can't get over things in his head. He sees things just one way.
Well, it's interesting because, like, we've seen Brody Lee's character on AEW now, what, 3 weeks? It's been 3 weeks that we've seen either promos or just different things from him. And you can kind of tell where they're going with the character. It's basically he's kind of a playoff Vince. He's kind of a playoff cult leaders. He really is just an asshole boss, is what you boil Brody Lee down to. He's just an asshole boss and is mistreating everyone else around him. But there are people online that can't get past him. He's like, well, he doesn't look like that. He shouldn't be this. And it's fascinating to see where you can see other people are like, well, he'd be whatever. If it works, it works. Great. Where other people just get stuck in this rut of being like, no, he has to be this. If he's not this, then they're not doing it right. And I think it's a lot like Vince. It's a lot of that. Just stuck in his ways, and we've seen every person that has gone on Jericho's podcast, whether it's Moxley, Brody Lee, Matt Hardy, whoever it is, says all the same things. It's creative sucks, and Vince is stuck in his ways.
Hunter should be in charge.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Joel. The one thing that bugged me, and I talked to Joel about this before Mo. But Hunter said he could get him a job at New Japan. Was that not just the fucking weirdest thing to you?
That's strange, yeah. Very strange. Very, very strange. You know, one of the things about it is, one of the things that came up in the podcast with Brody Lee is that CM Punk told him in a match in 2013, things can always be better in WWE. Mm-hmm. And what he meant by that was, no matter what the program is, even if it's going pretty good, it could be better, but it won't be because you're in WWE. Everything you do in WWE could be better somewhere else. And that's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons he's saying he's trying to do what he's trying to do is because he thought that the Wyatt family had a lot more potential than whatever it ever met. and he wants it to see if he can do something to that potential and do what it should have been now that he doesn't have to worry about these idiots screwing it up.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how, like, you tipped me off, Mo, about the end of Sammy's vlog, where he has wrestling fans talk about what wrestling means to him. And I like that WWE will always have a place for that, where it is that escapism, it is that ability to watch and get lost and stuff. But I feel like more now than ever, more wrestling fans turn to stuff like AEW, PWG, New Japan, just other things, because they're better at telling stories and better at giving you what you want and better at not insulting your intelligence. I think WWE is, they are, everything that's happened with COVID-19, everything that happened even before that, I think we've known for decades that this company is suffering from just not being as good as it could be. Mm-hmm. And it has no desire to improve. And I think that as wrestling fans, you sit there and go, well, why do I care about this?
But I have to disagree with you there when you say it has no desire to improve. Vince is convinced that he's putting on a good show. Vince is sure that he's not trying to do a bad show. He's trying to do the best show he can. He's convinced that this is a good show.
Is that
he doesn't understand why we don't think it is. But, you know, that's the thing.
Is that almost scarier? That he's convinced that this is a good show versus maybe a guy, like, because anyone, I think the other problem with WWE is everyone that's around Vince will just tell Vince, yes, this is a good show. Even if it's
That's terrible.
I think that hurts it. And even that Brody Lee interview, one of the things that you brought up, Josh, was that Carano or Hayes said, oh, Vince is busy. My guess, my internal guess on that is they just assumed that Vince didn't want to be bugged, so they just shoot him away.
Well, he waited for 5 hours, and after Vince saw everybody, yeah, he was told to. I think Vince is the one who said, I'm done. But, you know, but maybe it could have been just them. Who knows? No matter what, he's surrounded by yes men. Yeah. And that does go back to Vince's. That's Vince's own problem. His insecurity.
Yeah. Yeah. That he's not. He didn't bring in people that, like, look at the state Hunter's in right now. Hunter got that demotion, or what you perceive as a demotion. And it feels like in some ways Vince just wants to push Hunter away and just be done with it and not have to deal with it. Because I think Hunter was annoyed with how NXT was doing versus how the main roster is. And now this podcast we do.
You mean Vince was annoyed? You said Hunter.
Vince was annoyed and just wasn't happy with the state of that. And look at where NXT is now. Like, it just seems like everything that's happened with NXT has been a misstep. I mean, you can partially put that on Hunter, but I think ultimately the parent company, the main company of this, has played a role in where NXT is right now, because I don't think NXT has put out what it used to. I think that's partially because of the live. But
there's a lot of factors, but it's not as strong a product as it was.
Yeah.
You know?
And I really wonder about, like, how Hunter feels about all this, because I think Hunter knows, and I think a lot of that talent knows when they go onto the main roster, because they've established that it's not all three brands are equal. They're still the main roster, and then there's NXT. I wonder how many on the roster are like, well, do I really want to go up there? Like, so this Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano match that happened, that I believe it's a loser leaves NXT. That means Gargano's going up to the main roster, and it means that run that Johnny had in NXT that was fantastic. He's never going to have a run like that again. Yeah. I love Johnny, but I just don't think Vince is ever going to see anything than this small little guy that can sell really well, and he's just going to lose a bunch. And he's not going to be able to put on the long matches like what he was able to do in NXT, which is another problem.
The list of people that they use right or use to their first full potential is very small. And that's the thing, you know, I mean, so many guys are miscast as when they should be heels or they should be baby faces. And that's one of the major problems. They're constantly miscasting people. But yeah, so few people are ever as good as they could be. Again, it comes down to the whole system is broken, right? Like I was thinking this after these horrible ratings going into WrestleMania. I mean, just horrible ratings showing the lack of interest. I'm positive that Paul Heyman's done for. Like that once we get out of this, Heyman's done. He's got his fall guy there. But it's not Heyman's fault. We all know it's not Heyman's fault. Nobody can make this work what they're doing. You know, he can only do so much. But I'm positive he's done for.
Well, so now...
Go ahead, Bill.
I was going to say, at what point... Like... I've lost it. I got nothing.
What I was going to bring up is one thing I kind of saw with AEW recently, and one of the things I think they've done, you know, I still don't think they should be doing these shows during the pandemic, but I will give them credit, is one of the reasons I think they've succeeded and had more fun shows and made it click a lot more is because a lot of those guys have done shows like this. They've done the PWGs. They've done the little arenas. And they know to take a lot of nothing into something, whereas the WWE has always a lot of something around them, and they don't know how to make it to nothing.
That's true.
And that has really been something that they've had to learn on the fly. It took them 2 weeks to go to the hard camera where AEW is like, yeah, let's do that. And maybe we can do this and we can do that. And they've had a much better idea and feel how to make it work. And really, when you watch AEW and you watch WWE, you have a feeling of right now, and look, I'm still a guy that does like WWE a little bit more, but it's hard to deny. You watch AEW and you guys have already brought it up. You get a feeling from their locker room of fun and excitement. And yeah, we probably shouldn't be here, but we're just trying to make the best of this right now that we can. And with WWE, it's almost like it's theater, right? It's a performance every single night. People are ready to give the best opera or play that they can on the night. And when you watch AEW, you don't have that feeling.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you.
And I mean, maybe they've been able to do a little bit loose more on the promos, but I think you brought this up the other day. Well, some of the promos have been good. I really like the Seth one from a few 2 weeks ago. I thought that was really good. They're also just, again, very theatery. They're overpronounced and overdone almost.
There's a delivery that has become WWE delivery, which is so ironic when you look back on the great promos that WWE used to have in the 80s. You know, guys like Jake Roberts and different people. Like Jake Roberts' delivery was completely different from Randy Savage's, which was completely different from Coco Beware's, which was completely, you know what I mean? And it was a good thing. It was a positive. And it's something else they've lost.
Well, I mean, you look at it. So you've got Jake promo from last night. You've got Jericho's promo. You've got Brody's promo. You've got Cody cutting a promo basically on commentary.
Cody on commentary, by the way.
Cody just adds a different perspective. I think he's been all right. I think they're making the best of the situation that they're in. But I mean, everyone has a know who Jericho's character is. You know who Matt Hardy is. Well, we're all trying to figure out who Matt is. you know who the Bucks are. You know Hangman. You know what you're getting from Hangman. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of beer drinking and cowboy shit. Kenny, you know what you're going to get from him. Like, everyone is, like you said, that old WWF, everyone has a different feel to them. Darby different feels personality, different.
Personality, a different cadence to their promos. And it comes back to the idea that that great sit down that they had before the tag match, where it was a sit down with the Bucks and Omega and Paige. And not only was it not scripted, they didn't even rehearse it or go over it with each other because everybody knew their character. It was one take. Nobody knew what the other guys were going to say or do other than a very basic outline. It's like an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's just, yes. It's just, you know, and it was excellent. And the reason why is because if it feels real to the performers, it feels real to them. I mean, it's interesting you say you still prefer, you know, WWE. And I'm like, WWE just doesn't have any energy behind it. That's all it is. I want them to be better, but they're not.
Of course.
What was I going to say? Like, I was going to ask you, would you, Mo, because I don't think we've ever talked about, would you think the tag team match that they had, the Bucks versus Kenny and Hangman?
I don't know what you want me to say. It was a terrific match. It was a fantastic match. I mean, when we're watching it, we're like, you know, me and Addy were watching it. We're like, this is a hell of a match. Now, I don't know that it was. I had one problem with the match, quite a bit, and that was the part where you know, I mean, that move happens to Hangman outside the Indy Taker on the ramp, and then he's up again. To me, that's a spot that you should be. That should be a stretcher job. That things like that. That still bugs me. That's, you know, an issue I have with it. But it was still just – it was great psychology. And, again, one of the strengths back to the strengths of it, we talk about the promos being different. Not all the wrestlers have to wrestle the same either. You know, all the wrestlers – it's actually a detriment to the PC. And you think WWE's been around forever and they had the WWE style and it's clearly worked because they're the big company in the world and they had a lot of success using that style in the past. But it's because of the PC – there always used to be, okay, you have to learn the WWF style, like, or the WWE style, like Jericho when he came in, you know, and he was frustrated and they didn't like his work, or, you know, he had to learn the WWE style. And he did, but he never lost everything from the past. Now they may try and make you lose everything that you were doing before. So there is no individuality in the performances.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing that you look at AEW, you know what you're getting from a Cody match. You know how that's going to be mapped out. You know what you're going to get from the Bucks. You know what you're going to get from Omega. You know what you're going to get from Darby. You know what you're going to get from Jungle Boy. You know what you're going to get from we've got a demonstration of what we're going to get from Lance Archer. So it's these things where everyone's kind of their own little individual. And I mean, you go back to that tag team match and the little callbacks to the history that they have had in pro wrestling, from talking about Japan, from the Golden Lovers to the Golden Trigger, to just referencing Marty from Hangman, which I thought was just
was great.
It's rewarding your. Oh, yeah. It's rewarding your hardcore fans, the ones that have been there since 2016, 2015. And it's not some of it's insider baseball and some of it will be lost on those fans. But for the fans that are hardcore like you and me and Josh, it's going to be like, that was Marty. That was Marty Scurll. Why are they referencing Marty? Is there still a chance of him showing up? Or is it just simply acknowledging another part of the elite that's not around? When they did the Golden Trigger, it's like, I know what that move is. I know what they're doing. This is great. It's just – and even the end where Hangman gets that sinister smile and the way he grabs the ropes and the whole audience just kind of gasp a little because they think, oh, God, it's going to happen. And here it comes. Just the teases of who's going to hit who with a move, it left you wanting more from the story.
Well, what's great about them, and this is one of the things that NXT's unfortunately lost, is they're comfortable taking their time telling the story.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because, yeah, NXT used to do that, but make no doubt about it, they're not as much anymore. It sucks because making me want something to happen that is going to happen, but not letting me have it necessarily when I want it or when I think it's going to happen, but when I still want it, you know, but not when I think it's going to happen. That's one of the keys that's always made pro wrestling work, like right from the beginning of it.
Yeah, where you're like, I think this is going to happen. And then when it happens, I didn't think it happened here, but this is great.
Exactly.
And this can lead to this, this, and this. And you can rattle off all your fantasy booking. It's, yeah. And I think that waiting, like, it kind of sucks because we've got to wait to get to Blood and Guts. But I think that's the next step for Hangman, Omega, and the Bucks story, because I think that that will be another part heading towards whatever comes next for them. And it just, it's fun as a wrestling fan because you're like, I'm just chomping at the bit for this next thing. And yeah. It's enjoyable. And I mean, you can pull up the Mania card. I'm excited for Drew. I think that's the one thing from the whole card, top to bottom, I'm excited for.
Just Randy?
You've got... Let me finish my point. You've had it start from the Rumble with Drew. Even before then, you had kind of inclination that maybe Drew can do it. And then Drew did it. And then you get to the next thing. And then you get to what should be that crowning moment for Drew. And really, Drew should be your 1A on Raw, and Roman's your 1B on SmackDown. And you have the two of them really carrying both shows. And now you've taken the air out of that finale. Whereas the finale for whatever the Bucks and Cody and Kenny and Hangman is going to be, you still have a chance to have air in it. It's going to be like Edge and Randy. As much as that's been a great build, the match is going to happen, and then it's just going to be just a part of history, and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that thing happened. It's going to suck because Edge isn't going to have the reaction he's going to get for coming out for his first Mania since he beat Del Rio at 27.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was his last one where he was the opening match, I believe.
That was a trivia question today, by the way.
Yes, it was.
you take the air out of that. You take the air out of him getting his comments on Randy, and now that storyline will just move on. And it'll just move on to, because Edge has a very short window for wrestling. I don't care what anyone says. You come back. His bump card has been extended a little bit, but it's still, you've got to punch the holes properly. And he's got his list of guys he's going to want to wrestle. So this Randy thing will be one and done, and then that'll be it. So it's, you can always go back and do Drew and Brock again, but it's like writing a chapter of a book really quickly and just really just got to get this done. And it's just going to lack that extra oomph that a good story would have. And both those would have good endings had you waited for that crowd. Because I think the crowd plays a big role in helping complete the story for us as wrestling fans and the wrestlers.
Absolutely. And, you know, I hate to say this because, you know, Edge is awesome. I had a chance to do like a 15-minute interview with him once at the Calgary Expo when he was there and put it on a We Talk Wrestling. He was like the best guy, especially when it ended. He was even like a nicer guy than he was, you know. But I have to say, at the Royal Rumble, personally, I thought when he came out physically, I'm like, guy's ripped. And then he started wrestling, and I thought, he's old and he's beat up, and I didn't think he looked good. And it's hurt my anticipation for the match. Orton could be great, but I'm not as excited of the match as a lot of people, I have to say.
Fair enough. I don't have to say it. I think this Mania, no matter what, there's just so many things that without the crowd, it just deteriorates it. There's nothing on here that I'm like, oh yeah, this will be great, because I mean, even like looking at the Bray match and looking at the Taker match, I'm like, okay, well, those are going to be interesting. All Boneyard jokes aside, but the last time we got a match that was like in a different location was the House of Horrors, which was maybe one of the worst matches I've seen in my lifetime. So how can I trust that these matches will be good, no matter who the participants are, no matter if it is AJ Styles or John Cena? House of Horrors had Randy Orton, who is a pretty good count-on performer, and it was terrible.
I don't know what to say to that. I can't disagree with what you just said.
If I had to put faith into things, I know we joke about it, I have more faith the Boneyard could be fun than the House of Horrors match.
Well, Taker's been there before, and Taker's done stuff like that. So it logically makes sense that Taker can do the weird, quirky stuff, because that's really what his gimmick was. There's a lot of weird, quirky things throughout the years with him. Like, Bray and Cena is apparently very cinematic. So, are they going to fight in the Firefly Funhouse? Like,
I guess to my point, too, the last time they did something goofy at Mania, it worked. Like, something like Piper and Goldust worked.
Because
they knew what it was, and it ended up being a fun match. It's a fun match. It's not bad. You have to admit it's not bad. It's a fun match.
It's bad, dude.
They know what that is. They know what it is. The thing with the Broncos, hilarious. They know what it is. I will defend that match. That's a fun match. That is a fun match. I don't care what anyone says. It's a fun match.
Yeah, you know, you're allowed to have your opinion. Everybody's opinion, and we're allowed to disagree on certain things.
The gold dust with the thorn afterwards doesn't hold up as well into the modern day era. You know, a lot of stuff with Goldust doesn't hold up. I mean, I've watched a lot of mid-2000s movies lately. A lot of them just don't hold up anymore because there's a lot of homophobia in them. And, you know, there was a little bit of that, obviously. A lot of that with the Goldust character. But they got creative.
That stuff's hilarious.
They got creative and they tried to do the best. They made it kind of fun as with the House of Horrors, which was absolute dog shit.
Yeah. Well, that much we can agree on.
Yeah.
Oh, it's scary just how bad the things like that can be. And the thing is, as someone that likes cameras and shooting stuff, that's an uncontrolled environment. You can do different takes. You can be like, all right, let's re-rack and re-record and let's do that again. So it means someone will see this stuff, review it, and go, ooh. Wow.
You're saying they're watching dailies? Is that what you're anticipating? I'm not so sure that they're
I'd like to think they're professional enough to look at the footage and go, okay, well, that looks all right. Like, even in just the planning, the creative process, you go through stuff and you should talk things out and see, well, this isn't going to work. Well, mind you, the last taped thing that WWE did that I thought worked, even though the commentators buried it, was the Hardy compound. Was him and Bray and the chair of wheels, and I don't know what the other one was. Mower of lawns or lawn mower?
Totally worked. That was good stuff.
And that's probably because of Matt, mind you, but...
Matt and, what's his name?
Borash.
From TNA. From Borash, yeah.
So you should have Borash should be front of the line for this, for the Boneyard thing, and for like that's the thing. You have these creative resources within your company. Use them. Use them to help get things over and be better. But I know what the answer is for all of this.
We're scared to death of it.
Yep. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
It'll probably be fine. It'll probably be fine.
We can end it on there, boys.
I'm comfortable ending it on there. I mean, I don't know what we were going to talk about when we started, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't any of this. Still, it was good stuff.
It was good shit, pal.
Yeah.
Shit, pal.
All right.
Nicely done.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot. It's not like there's a lot of news going on. The main thing was wanted to talk about the New Jack thing and then kind of talk about the Miz thing and Joel, we're going to do Mania preview tomorrow.
Yep.
I will say this. I'm really upset there's no Hall of Fame this year. I was actually looking forward to some of the speeches this year. Particularly, I was looking forward to Dave's speech. And I was also really looking forward to who was going to do Bulldog. And the Liger part of it all was going to be interesting as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's... Yeah.
Does Liger speak English?
Very, very broken English.
Mm-hmm.
does speak some. I mean, he was here in Calgary, you know, and stuff like that. And, I mean, he has spent time around, so he does speak some, but very broken.
That would be very – it'd be very interesting because, I mean, Liger is one of those guys that just transcends pro wrestling across the board. So – and his work in WCW definitely warrants this spot. But I'd be very interested to see how his speech would have gone.
It definitely would have been interesting. No question about it.
Who do you think would have inducted Bulldog?
I was hoping that Diana would have done it because that just would have been interesting, but it probably would have been Harry.
I think Harry was induct or was doing the present or doing the not the induction. The yeah, he was doing the induction and yeah. Who was accepting? I thought he was doing the induction and somebody else was accepting.
Was Brett gonna do it?
I don't think so.
Because I brought it up to Brett. It's one of the things I brought up to him is like he's like, oh yeah, I'm heading to Tampa in 3 weeks. I'm like, oh yeah, are you gonna put in Bulldog? He's like, I know Davey's going in, I don't know anything else other than that.
Yeah. I don't think it would have been him. I think probably, if I'm just to make a guess, I could have seen Natalia having a role in this.
Not Diana?
No, not Diana.
No. That would have been interesting.
I don't know that you want Diana talking in public.
No, that's why. I was like, I don't want
Diana talking.
Hey. Yeah. And I say that with all due respect because we worked together for a while and we're very, very, got along very well, very friendly. But yeah.
I was going to say, you do have a heart in the Tampa Bay area, the Florida area. I know Teddy Hart's kicking around somewhere.
What, jail?
Yeah, where he should be.
Got arrested again. After like kind of having like a good 2019 wrestling wise, probably one of the better years of his career, maybe the best of his career.
He got released from what do you call it again? From MLW for, you know, his antics. So I don't know how good a year it was.
Well, I'm just saying he was a tag champ and he was like, you know, doing okay in MLW. Like he was getting like there was some buzz that maybe AEW would want to take a chance on him.
Yeah, nobody will ever. The fact that MLW took a chance on him is amazing.
And yeah. Pritchard was like singing his praises, and I think Pritchard maybe was going to try to go to Hunter and be like, hey, maybe give Teddy another chance. But now I think it's done. It's done.
Oh, it's done. It's done. He's on every drug that ever existed. And yeah, it's done.
What about Pillman? Like, where do we see him going now?
I don't know. I mean, it's not like, you know, Harry isn't still there.
No, I know. So. I would like Harry to get a chance in maybe an AEW as a tag champ. Because I thought he didn't get as much credit for his New Japan stuff, but I thought his stuff with Archer was not too bad, the two of them together.
Oh, no, I'd love to see him in AEW with Archer. Unfortunately, I don't think that him and Kenny get along very well.
Oh, that's too bad. I will give credit to everything that AEW has done, not to make this an AEW love fest, but everything they've done with the managers lately, the Tully stuff with Sean Spears worked out really good at first, and now they've kind of dragged it back. But the Jake stuff, I'm really happy to see Jake get this last act of his career. Like, he has been knockout fantastic.
Yeah, he's still a fantastic promo.
Yeah. As long as you don't ask him who the worst WWE champion was ever, there's no issues at all. You just
no, as long as you don't ask him how to play blackjack.
There's a lot.
What, 21?
Yeah.
I think that's where we end it.
Yeah.
All yeah. Right, well, why not? I mean, end it on a high note.
Yeah. Everyone, thank you for listening so much. And until next time, enjoy the day the best you can. Stay safe, people.
Goodbye. And good night. Bye.